Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Combine my favorite Martian with Marcus Welby, MD, Columbo, and Stranger in a Strange Land. What do you get? Resident Alien, adapted from the popular comic book series and coming to sci-fi a week from Wednesday. Executive producer and showrunner Chris Sheridan joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, did the Griot.TV launch? A last run of Peaky Blinders, Critics' Choice TV nominees, our classic trivia question, and on this Martin Luther King Jr. afternoon, a diversity milepost. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 44 degrees at the top of the hour on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We welcome you wherever you are to the program all about TV's current and future. A great guest coming your way over the next hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and use the numbers. You dial with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And we have a chat room ready for you if you're shy about the phone. It's SimonApple04 by name, SimonApple04, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So on this holiday afternoon, use the phone or the room. Either way, we get you involved. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions up. It will be live with us. Chris Sheridan from Resident Alien and also from Family Guy joins us live from Connecticut after these news notes. Last Friday was supposed to be launch Friday of the Griot.TV, the 24/7 network version of the news information website owned by Byron Allen. Well, here we are this Monday afternoon, and Allen's media empire has not put out an official press release or statement on the launch or the Griot TV's programming plans. The service, featuring entertainment along with news info content, was set to go multicast through Fox and Scripps-owned television stations, plus smart TV sets and devices. We'll see what happens. We'll monitor the situation, and we'll have an update for you on Friday's episode. Peaky Blinders, the offbeat family drama from England reaching audiences worldwide from the BBC and Netflix, will wrap with its sixth season now in production. This last set of episodes will run late this year or 2022, depending on whether or not production has issues because of the coronavirus pandemic in Great Britain. Netflix finds itself top dog again in nominations, this time for the annual Critics' Choice TV Award. Netflix picked up 26 nominations, followed by 24 for HBO and HBO Max combined. The best drama contenders this year, Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Good Fight, that's CBS All Access, Lovecraft Country on HBO, The Mandalorian from Disney+, Ozark, Perry Mason, and This Is Us from NBC. For the best comedy running, Better Things, The Flight Attendant, that's an HBO Max deal, Mom, 10-15 from Hulu, Rainy on Hulu, Bleeps Creek, Ted Lasso on Apple TV+, and What We Do in the Shadows on FX. The awards will be presented March 7th on the CW. A couple of quickies before we get to our guest. Entertainment One is developing a set of scripted series inspired by popular video game Dungeons & Dragons. And Sinclair's new morning multi-hour program, The National Desk, started earlier today on 68 stations and multi-channel bundle, Stir. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Connecticut, the Emmy-nominated writer-producer on Family Guy, now the executive producer, showrunner, and developer of Resident Alien, which premieres Wednesday, January 27th, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Sci-Fi. Pleasure to have with us Chris Sheridan. Chris, happy holiday afternoon to you.
Happy holiday afternoon to you, too, Simon. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. This has been quite a journey for you to get Resident Alien from being a popular comic book to a television series. How did the journey start?
It's been a long journey, Simon. It started for me when Amblin Television reached out to me in October of 2015. The Resident Alien graphic novels, and reached out to me and asked if I was interested in adapting this to a television show. And I read the graphic novel and absolutely loved it. Peter Hogan and Stephen Parkhouse are absolute geniuses, and I loved it and told them I was interested in doing it, and it started a journey that will finally get the show to air a week from Wednesday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the comic book and the nature of the hero, or the resident alien, if you will, inspired you to think this could be a TV series? Because when you think about it, there's a lot of different genres in play. It's not just sci-fi. It's murder mystery. It's small-town affairs. There's a little Northern Exposure involved. I mentioned Stranger in a Strange Land, my favorite Martian. There's a lot of different elements of classic TV shows here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, I think what I responded to was Peter Hogan, who wrote the graphic novel, did such a sort of masterful job in leaning into the human aspect of it, that this alien might be an alien, but there's so much relatable about this character that we can all sort of lean into. And I think that's what I loved about it. Look, I'm a fan of aliens anyway, and I even before this, could find myself falling into a deep rabbit hole on the internet of alien videos and stories. But in addition to that, I didn't think it would translate unless I could find a way to make it relatable and make it more a show about people and about human beings than about the alien himself. And I felt that that was there in the comic above all. And, you know, within that, being able to blend tones, there's humor in the comic, there's obviously sci-fi, there's drama. I loved the thought of trying to do a bunch of different tones at once, which happens, I think, more often in film than television these days. But I felt that there was a need for that. There's so much content out there now that a lot of the shows sort of fall into one box or another. And I thought it would be an interesting challenge to try to make a show that is a bunch of different things and see if I can make it work. So I really responded to it and I fell in love with it. And it took a lot of work and I've had a lot of help, a lot of amazing writing staff last year and some great producers and directors, and the actors are incredible. And Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse have been supportive, incredibly supportive, and Dark Horse and Amblin have been great. So it's all been, you know, a labor of love for all of us, including the studio and the network. And it seems to be coming together pretty well.
Yeah. You, of course, also have a lot of fame for your work on Family Guy. You've been nominated for multiple Emmy Awards for it. I'm curious how being involved with animation helped you to turn this project, this live action project, and get it to life.
You know, it's a really good question. One of the things in animation, and by the way, I haven't really thought of that before, but which I think makes it a great question. One of the great things about animation is you do have to free your mind a little bit. There are fewer rules for obvious reasons in a lot of different ways, and it sort of trains you to sort of think outside the box a little bit. You're not restrained by a lot of the things that you're restrained by, you know, writing a typical live-action sitcom or something. So I think I've just been used to that mindset of let's, and Family Guy in particular, like, let's forget the rules that we've been taught are the ways we're supposed to do this, and let's think instead of what would work for me as a viewer if I was watching this. And attacking it that way, I think, helped the show and allowed it, you know, maybe to have to feel like it has its own point of view and doesn't feel like a lot of other things on the air.
We're speaking with Chris Sheridan. He is the executive producer, developer, and showrunner of Resident Alien, the sci-fi's first original scripted series in quite some time. It was originally supposed to start last summer, but because of the coronavirus pandemic, things got mixed around a bit. But finally, at last, it is launching a week from Wednesday, January 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Chris Sheridan is with us live from Connecticut this half hour on this special holiday edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Wherever you are, I hope you are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. birthday in a great way. Simon Applebaum with you live from Nueva York. If you have a question or comment for Chris, make the call go 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a 90-minute episode coming your way next time we meet on Friday. Netflix is bringing back a show called Blown Away, one of the most popular non-scripted shows of 2 years ago, and the executive producer, Matt Hornburg, will be joining us. And then we'll talk to the people behind a new network on smart TV sets and smart TV services called Fabutainment. It's entertainment, it's celebrity news, but not in the way you might think. We will have the founder, Francesca Williams, and the executive team, Bukeka and Eugene Blitmore, will be with us. And then we'll talk about Two Sands Horror Stories, whose second season premiered last week on the CW. Executive producer Liz Levine will be with us. We'll also have the vice president, general manager of Stage 13, the Warner Brothers unit responsible for this, and other TV shows in the works, Diana Mangalon. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Chris, give us the 10 yards, or as much as you can, about Resident Alien and the kind of world the alien lives in.
Yeah, look, it's, in general, the TV version of Resident Alien, it's the story of an alien who comes to Earth on a diabolic mission but crashes before he can complete it. Then the alien hides in plain sight in a small Colorado town by taking over the body of a local man named Harry Vanderspiegel and ends up working as the town doctor while simultaneously searching for the device that will allow him to complete his mission. So it's set in a small town in Colorado, and you have this alien hiding as a human and not really knowing how to be a human, and played by the incredible Alan Tudyk, and he plays not knowing how to be human incredibly well. And sprinkled around the town are a bunch of other sort of great characters, many of whom were in the comic, and a couple that I came up with myself. My goal, sort of going into this, was to try to make the characters in the town, in the town itself, interesting and compelling enough so that if an alien never crashed to Earth, there could still be a story there and a show there. And then if I felt if I could achieve that, then dropping an alien in the middle of it would be a great way to try to do the TV version of what Peter and Steve did so well with the graphic novel, which is, an alien being observational about human nature and trying to figure out what it means to be human. So I tried to put those things together, and I think there's a lot of funny stuff in the show because, again, the alien has no idea what he's doing, and I think people's reactions to him being a little bit different are funny. But there's also, at its core, there's a lot of emotion in it and emotional elements and certainly a lot of drama because of the murder mystery and what the alien is here to do. So there's a lot of different things happening at once, but a lot of fun characters and incredible actors who are playing them.
Before I get to the main actor who plays the resident alien, was the town based in any way on life growing up or your ideal of an ideal small town?
I grew up in a small town called Guilford, New Hampshire, which is a very small town near a lake, Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. So I definitely drew a lot of small town concepts from that. And there's something very specific about a small town. It's, it's a place that some people, go away and never come back. Some people never leave. Some people leave and then are drawn back because of family or because they loved it. What I try to do in this town set in Colorado is, and why I like Colorado, and originally the graphic novel set it in Washington State, but I moved it to Colorado because I love the thought of a little town being surrounded by mountains and being difficult to get to and making it almost sort of an island, and where there's a group of characters on this sort of island separated from the world in a way, which kind of is what it feels like sometimes when you're from a small town. So, I took a lot of my own small town experiences, but certainly talked to a lot of people, and I had a lot of friends in small towns, and I think it's something that everyone can relate to, even if you're not from a small town. I think there are, even within your group set, even if you're from in the city, I think there are small town elements that take place within the small group that you hang out with. So I also love the thought of creating a kind of a quaint Americana feel in the town, but also establishing that there's a bit of an underbelly, which we talked about in the pilot, which I think is pretty consistent with small towns these days, that they can look beautiful and they can look like I want our town to look, which is people watching TV and being drawn in because it just looks so nice. And there's, beautiful mountains and there's a beautiful lake and it's a place you want to live in. And then the reality is just like people, I think if, it looks beautiful, but, once you get there, there's a lot more dimensions to it. And every town, I think, as beautiful as it is, has its problems in the same way that people do.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like little Twin Peaks, that behind the beauty and the exquisiteness of the town or what it looks like, when you see it photographed, there is the subversive underground, if you will, behind what's going on.
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, Twin Peaks is a very, very specific piece of work, and of course I love it, and it's incredible. What I like about it is, like you said, it looks beautiful, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And what I love about that is it keeps the audience sort of on their toes a little bit. They're not quite sure what to expect. They're not quite sure who's a good person, who's a bad person, and maybe, you know, what, you know, they're watching to sort of discover that even in the people that they feel are the bad people, there's good within all of us. And it's one of the journeys that Harry is on in his time on Earth, which is observing humans and coming to Earth, having one opinion about humans. To him, when he gets here, he's an alien species, and to him, humans are basically ants. He doesn't care about them at all, and he thinks they're worthless. And it's coming in and believing one thing about humans, and then seeing elements to the human experience that sort of surprises him and tells him something about humans he didn't know before. And I think one of the goals throughout this whole process that we wanted was to open people's eyes and make them realize that as bad and as frustrating as it is sometimes to see human nature, that there is good in all of us. And maybe we can experience, you know, as Harry slowly experiences that, you know, the realizing that when we work together, we can do amazing things. And if we can put our differences aside, there's strength in the positivity that we can have in a group if we're all on the same side. So I'm hoping that, you know, through Harry's journey throughout the series, people watching it can go on that journey with him and maybe come out of it a little bit more open-minded than they did when they went in.
When you got Alan to portray your, I don't know if we call him a hero, maybe a hero, anti-hero, let's say, an alien in your program, what marching orders did you give him? Because in the trailers I've seen, or the clips I've seen so far, I get the sense there are moments when he's by the book, but I also get the sense that you gave him some freedom to roam around the character a little bit, go crazy, go nuts, improv a little bit with the particularly with the townspeople.
Yeah, we gave Alan a lot of leeway. You know, when he first auditioned for it, I gave him no, and it was myself and David Dobkin who directed the pilot. We didn't give him any instruction at all, really. We were interested in seeing what he would do with it. And I've said this before, I thought I knew what this character was until Alan came in, and then I realized that I was wrong, because Alan did it in a way that no one else had. And he was able to bring a comedy to it while having just this deep humanity within him. And I think partially because Alan himself is such a good person, that he got away with a lot of things, even on the audition, that I hadn't seen in any other actor who had come in. And we had seen over 100 people at that point. So it was really incredible to see what he did with the character. And then once he got the part and then we started shooting, we gave him a lot of leeway. Alan is tremendously talented and has Juilliard training and has clown training. And the stuff that he can do with his body and, you know, and his face and his facial expressions, and it really is incredible. And working along with Bill Terzakis, who designed the alien mask in the show, he designed it in such a way that the lower half of the mask has a thinner silicone layer, so that the actual expressions in the mouth are all Alan's expressions, and it's even when he's wearing the alien mask, and it's really incredible to see Alan work that mask. And it's really incredible to see Alan just work his face and his being when he's this character. He can get out so much emotion with so little effort it's really a miracle that we were able to get him in this part. And we let him, all the actors really, and Alan especially, have a lot of leeway in a lot of different situations, let him, you know, have fun with it and try his own stuff. And you know, so many times he'll come up with stuff that we didn't write, but that is better than what we had, and we'll try to keep that. He's I can't say enough good about him. He's fantastic.
Resident Alien, based on the popular comic book, premieres a week from Wednesday, January 27th on Sci-Fi. That's 10:30 Pacific Time, Sci-Fi available on cable and satellite. We've got Chris Sheridan. He is the Emmy-nominated executive producer, showrunner, and developer of the series. He's with us live from Connecticut this half hour, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I've been with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on the Martin Luther King Jr. Monday afternoon, 44 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Chris, make the call, 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On Friday, we showcased a Disney Channel series called Secret of Sulphur Springs that was filmed in New Orleans. We didn't know it at the time, but we found out earlier today, thanks to Facebook, that there is a new television service available on smart TV sets and smart devices that's all about original movies and television shows produced in the state of Louisiana, the Bayou State. It's called the Louisiana Film Channel, and we'll showcase it next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll have the president of the service, his name is Dr. Lucas Fry, and we'll have Michael Baker. He's an actor, writer, producer, director who did one of the original series that you can find on this service. Dr. Lucas Fry and Michael Baker from Louisiana Film Channel in an exclusive interview you'll find next Monday live right here, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Chris, when we find out about, or we cover series that are based on comics, the creators of the comics, sometimes they take a very, very big role in the making of the show. Sometimes they don't. In this case, what kind of role did the creators of Resident Alien have working with you, your writing team, your directing team, to make the series happen?
Yeah, actually, Peter Hogan, I actually didn't meet Peter until, gosh, I think we had shot the pilot already, and we were moving into to do the first season. Peter gave us his blessing. He's been incredibly supportive, but he has not been part of the specific writing process, except for having, you know, written the incredible graphic novel that I read and was able to pull a few things from that as you know when was possible. But no, he was not involved in the actual writing of the television show. I did want to, and the plan was in March, he was going to fly out from, he lives in England, he was going to fly out, and I was going to put him in in the 59 bar in one of the episodes. But then sitting there at the bar, but then COVID hit and we had to shut down and he wasn't able to fly from England. So if the show is able to move forward into a second season, then I would love to, I'd love to have him come and, prop him up in a bar stool in the bar in one of the episodes or something like that. He's an incredible supporter of the show. And, he's aware that it's a different medium, you know, that I did have to make some changes from the graphic novel, and he's been incredibly supportive of that all along. And I just hope that I and the rest of the writers and producers and directors and all of us and the actors do his vision justice, because the graphic novel is so special.
Yeah. Were there any issues with filming the series due to the coronavirus pandemic? And also, what's it like to serve several masters, if you will? You got Dark Horse Comics, which publishes Resident Evil. You got the creators. Yeah. You've got Amblin Television, Steven Spielberg's outfit. You have Sci-Fi, run by NBC Universal. What's it like to serve all these different masters and also come up with, through them, your creation?
Yeah, I'll speak of the masters first. Yeah, there's a lot of people to satisfy, and there always is these days. I mean, there's always a studio who usually pays to make the show, and there's the network who airs it. So that's sort of built in. And even if they're from the same company, which in general UCP and Sci-Fi are all part of the NBC banner, they usually work as sort of separate units. So typically there's a couple people, and then there's the producers on here. There's Amblin Television, and then there's Dark Horse, who are the publishers. The Dark Horse, Keith Goldberg and Mike Richardson at Dark Horse have been incredible through the whole process. Justin Falvey, Daryl Frank, and Clint Levine at Amblin have been incredible. So they've been, you know, there's a lot of people to satisfy, but they've all been so helpful. And I'm so lucky in this process that everyone involved is really great creatively. The executives at Sci-Fi and UCP, Universal Content Productions, are amazing, and they've been so supportive, and they've had great ideas from the very beginning about the direction of the show, but they've also given me leeway to take their ideas or not take the ideas. More times than not, I did, because they were great ideas. So a lot of times there's a problem serving all these masters, because they their ideas fight each other, and you have to choose between this one or this one, and someone's always angry. Everyone seemed to be on the same page with this one, and everyone has been supportive since the beginning. So it really has been an incredible process creatively. I can't say enough about the people involved and how much a part of whatever success this show might have that they have, because they've been such a huge part of the creation of the show in their own way. So that's been, I've been really lucky with that. As far as COVID goes, it was hard. I mean, we had 2 weeks left to shoot in the season, maybe 3 weeks in March to finish the 10 episodes when we had to shut down. And so we shut down not knowing how long we were going to be away for. Originally, the original shutdown was 2 weeks, but we sort of expected it was probably going to go longer than that. I don't think we knew it was going to go for 6 months or 7 months that it did. We were lucky to be able to go back to Vancouver in August to continue the season. And with the COVID protocols in place, you know, and we had to sort of re-ramp up pre-production on the final episode and a half or so we had to shoot. It took 6 weeks of shooting to sort of finish out. But, you know, we were safe and we got tested 3 times a week and we all quarantined. When we went for us from the States that had to fly to British Columbia, we had to quarantine for 2 weeks in our hotels without leaving, you know, to make sure we were safe. And, you know, but everyone took it seriously. Everyone wore masks. Everyone tried to social distance. And we had a lot of things in place, but people took it seriously and no one got sick. And, you know, it was an example of how to do it the right way, I think, and how to sort of continue working and be respectful and have it work out. And we were able to sort of finish strong, and we shot, I think, October 15th, which was literally like 5 years after I started the process. We shot our final day on the mountain at the Pemberton Ice Cap, which was incredible, on top of the glacier. And that was a good feeling finishing that and knowing we had the season, the entire season done, shooting-wise anyway. And I've been in post-production since I got back in October. And, yeah, like you said before, well, I guess we are a week from Wednesday, which we're all excited about.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Chris, and we really appreciate taking the time on this MLK Junior Day to be here, what's been the most positive surprise about the experience, about doing a live-action series, a science fiction series, a series that has a great fandom, and one that is sci-fi's first original effort in scripted sci-fi, scripted speculative fiction, you know, in a great while?
Yeah, honestly, there's a thousand of them. I mean, there's a thousand things that came together that were a nice surprise. Probably the nicest surprise, and it's not really a surprise, but it doesn't always work this way, is how well the cast gets along and how supportive they all are of each other. From Alan, you know, Tudyk to, you know, Sarah Tomko, Corey Reynolds, Alice Wetterlin, Levi Feeler, Liz Bowen, Meredith Garrison, like LV Yost, all of them. They're all so incredible. And they all get along. They all love each other. They all support each other. It's been a long time. It's been 2.5 years or 2 years since we shot the over 2 years since we shot the pilot. So they've had a lot of time to sort of get to know each other in the downtime in between shooting the pilot and shooting the series, which was a year. And you hear all these stories all the time about prima donnas and, you know, the cast locking themselves in the trailers and infighting. And I got to say, I had never seen this before. These actors are A, they're incredible and incredibly talented, but they're incredibly supportive of each other. They truly love each other. They root for each other. And I think that comes across on screen. I think they make each other's performances better when they're acting together. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful surprise that came out of it. And I couldn't be happier to be working with the group.
Resident Alien is the program, and you can find it on Sci-Fi a week from Wednesday night, January 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals for where Sci-Fi is available in the area on cable and satellite, and for more details about the program online, including some very interesting developments about the making of the series, by the way. www.sci-fi.com. It's www.syfy.com. Resident Alien premieres on Sci-Fi a week from Wednesday. Chris Sheridan, the executive producer, showrunner, and developer of the series, thank you again for coming on. Good luck to you and everybody for making it happen, and hopefully the beginning of a great and long run.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate you having me on.
Same here, Chris. All the greatest. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Chris Sheridan from Resident Alien joining us live from Connecticut. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a diversity milepost in television. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. It's your home for the best internet radio in the planet, with more than 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home tonight for the Indie Artist Radio Show. Check out the latest independently made music the Indie Artist Radio Show tonight, right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2021. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. We've got our classic trivia question of the week coming up. And we also may have a show to know, too, plus a diversity milepost in honor of Dr. King. But first, let's give you some words from the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're interested in a very unusual kind of mystery tale, try this one from a writer named Rahman Alam. It's called Leave the World Behind. And it's about what happens when there's a blackout and a couple on vacation meet another couple who, because of the blackout, needs some place to stay. And that's when the mystery begins. Leave the World Behind. That's a book you can get right now in audio form through Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from. And get this, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Plus, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of the service, health and wellness information, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And here's something else. If you're already an Amazon Prime member, you get two audiobooks for the trial of one. And one of those audiobooks could be from the growing catalog, fast-growing catalog, I might add, of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions and podcasts, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway, Regional Theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So, on this holiday Monday, how about hearing for the first time how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know can hear the world? Go to audibletrial.com/televised today. By the way, makes a great gift this holiday or any holiday this year for you or someone you love. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, second week in a row that we are highlighting this question. And it is this. Name the 1950s Western television series starring Joel McRae. That's the famous actor behind The Most Dangerous Game, Sullivan's Travels, The More Than Merrier. Did a lot of Westerns also. And he did one Western TV series in his career. And that's our question. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Joel McRae. We had two responses to our classic trivia question over the last 72 hours. We had someone on Saturday connect with us with Tales of the Texas Rangers as the answer. Nope, not it. And then a past winner, Ryan Lerman, emailed me this morning with the correct answer. So somebody out there has it, but because Ryan has won before, we want somebody else to win. Because in case you don't know, if you just joined us, last year we realized we had a number of people who did win more than once. So to give more people a chance, we are going one win to a customer, okay? So Ryan, thank you again for supplying the answer, and let's see who does now. Once again, the question, name the 1950s Western television series starring Joel McRae. And if you're first with the correct answer, we got four prizes in store for you. We got the Crazy Stupid Love DVD. We have from Telaria, the Clutch Plus Money Card Clip. We have The Genius Box by David Tice. It's a book about how the idiot box got smart and is changing the television business. And we have from one of the guests we had on last month, we've got a very interesting book called Off the Back of a Truck, Dealing with the Sopranos. So four great prizes in store for you if you have the answer. And all you have to do is email me with it, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, and if first with the answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. That's Simon Applebaum on Facebook, and on Twitter, it's at UBC Simon. TWBT. That's at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, you have to email the answer, not on Facebook, not on Twitter. Email the answer. That's how we determine who wins. So remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. Of course, today is a very special day. It is the day that we celebrate one of the great leaders in all of America, in all of our existence as a nation, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Dr. King was one incredible human being who believed that all lives matter, that all people matter, and that everyone is entitled to respect and to protect each other. In his famous speech, I Have a Dream, he said in part that his dream would be that his four little children would be respected not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And if I could relate that last part by the content of their character to television, I'd like to suggest that if Dr. King was alive today, I think he would consider what is happening in the world of television a milepost, not only of diversity, but a platform, a foundation for how diversity should happen naturally, by osmosis, for any industry, for any business, for any element of society. We've said for a long time on this program, and we've been on the air now for nearly 13 and a half years, that if we're going to have diversity in television, diversity that represents all people of color, a society that not long before you know it will actually be the majority population in this country, right now around 41% and growing fast, that you have to deal with diversity not at just one level, but at many levels at the same time. The programming level, the ownership level, the network level, the executive level, the talent agency level, the production company level, the series level. And particularly in this last year, which was so impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, I think it's fair to conclude that this medium is in the greatest position it has been in ever to have diversity realized on every level. Think about this. In spite of the coronavirus pandemic, over the last 6, 8, 9 months, we have seen a surge of new television services available through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, many, all of them from independently owned organizations, and many of them by people of color and communities of color. We are seeing more people of color own production companies and media enterprises than ever before. More celebrities of color are owning their own television product. More people of color, producers, series creators, particularly scripted series creators, now have program development deals with the networks, with individual production companies, with the likes of Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, and the mega content services like Disney Plus, Discovery Plus, Apple TV Plus, BET Plus, and so on. And the opportunities that are opening up thanks to smart TV functionality, artificial intelligence, video and audio, augmented reality, 5G, next-gen television. It's opening up many, many, many more opportunities than ever before. Interactivity than ever before. And keep in mind also that we're seeing more efforts to provoke diversity through production companies like Ryback, owned by Dan Lin, organizations like The Blacklist, and Women in Film, and projects like the new Viacom-CBS effort with the NAACP, or the effort to launch 100 made-for-TV movies for various Viacom-CBS networks, and half of them will be directed by people of color and women. Or Terrence Acedo, the creator of Vida, the hit show on Starz, now involved with Universal Content Productions in creating a Latina content lab. Or individual projects at Walt Disney to create a new group of series and special producers, writers, creators of color. And we are also seeing something else too. We are seeing more people of color, not to mention the gay, lesbian, transgender community, etc., in position to greenlight, to approve new series. from a wide variety of voices. People like Bela Bajardin, the new head of global TV at Netflix, or Polina Igwe, who's risen up the ladder to become the key greenlighter of new series at Universal Television, Universal Content Productions, NBC Universal. Or Tara, the head of Freeform, and Wanya Lucas, the head of Crown Family Media Networks, Hallmark Channel. We've never seen anything like this. So many developments on so many levels. And you get the sense when you get these developments, you're excited because you get the sense that, like Dr. King said, this was not done because, oh, we have to have these people because of the color of their skin, but because of the content of their character. And before I go on this point, let's also remember, too, we have people like Shonda Rhimes and Kenya Barris and Byron Allen and Tyler Perry and the Abreu brothers and many, many more, Steve Harvey, that are also creating programs and have their own production deals to create multiple series, in some cases for multiple players. It is an amazing time to chronicle diversity, and it's been wonderful to have a ringside seat. Just as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had the ringside seat to impact the civil rights movement and to take this country forward toward a dream realized where all lives matter, all people matter, and all people respect each other no matter what their views are. And the respect is peaceful, not violent. It's a wonderful thing. And I want you to know that on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we are redoubling our efforts to showcase diversity. It's been our mandate from the get-go, and I promise you it will be more of our mandate as we go forward. And it's a great thing to see. And it's a great thing to showcase, particularly at a time like now, when I think it's time to take a deep breath and realize that, yeah, we're making diversity happen in television. And yes, you can make the case in other places too in society. Yes, Dr. King, we are getting closer and closer to that dream of your children being judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We're getting there. Bumps along the way, yes. Stupid violence, sadly. But maybe, just maybe, and maybe, just maybe, we've got a new road to cross. We have a new path to carve. So let's get in the business of that, shall we? And I promise you, we'll let you know how things are unfolding. We have a little time before we wrap up for the day, and since we do, I want to let you know about a show to know that's premiering tonight on GSN called People Puzzler. If you love crossword game shows, if you're a fan of shows like The Crosswits way back when, I think you're going to like this. It's on tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on GSN, the Game Show Network. And it's a wonderful crossword puzzle game hosted by Leah Remini, game show host for the first time. And I'll let you be the judge of how she does. But I can tell you this, the crossword, the game itself, is a lot of fun. And people have a chance to win $10,000. People Puzzler, tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on GSN. More details at GSN.com. Again, I want to thank Chris Sheridan of Resident Alien for joining us on this holiday afternoon. And we will be back with you with a 90-minute episode on Friday. And coming your way then on Tomorrow Be Televised, Netflix is bringing back one of its most popular nonfiction shows from 2019 called Blown Away. The executive producer, Matt Hornberg, will be with us. And then we'll check out a new service on smart TV sets and smart devices called Fabutainment. It's entertainment celebrity news, but not in the way you might expect. And we're going to have three of the key people who are making this service happen. Francesca Williams, Bukeka, and Eugene Blakemore will all be with us. And then we will check in with the second season of a series that made its premiere a year and a half, 2 years ago on the CW called Two Cents Horror Stories. It actually started about 3 years ago as a pilot presented at the Tribeca Film Festival here in New York. And speaking of diversity, it has a lot of diversity. It just started second season last week on the CW, and we will have executive producer Liz Levine on. Also, from Stage 13, the Warner Brothers division that put this show together is working on other interesting TV projects. The Vice President, Senior Vice President, General Manager of Stage 13, Diana Mangalan, will also be here. That's all coming up this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And then next Monday, we learned today that there is a brand new network called Louisiana Film Channel that is presenting original programming, movies, as well as original series that were produced in the Bayou State, especially in New Orleans. We'll have the president of the network, Dr. Lucas Fry, and we'll have actor, producer, writer, director Michael Baker, who's doing one of the original series that's on this service. You can find Louisiana Film Channel on Apple TV, also on Amazon Fire TV, other smart TV devices, and smart TV sets. That's coming up on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As always, if you come in late on our program or you want to catch up on episodes you miss, all you got to do is go to our homepage. It's available anytime. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, we are available around the clock on podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. And by the way, if there is a podcast site like Audible, Spotify, Westwood One, Google Podcasts, Fox Podcasts, etc., that you'd like to have our program on, drop them a line, email them, give them a call, let them know that you like our program and you'd like to hear that's our show where you enjoy your podcast. And let them know we're always in the road to talk with them and see what we can do. And we're working on it, by the way, and we'll keep you posted on our efforts to get to expand our podcast distribution. You can also check out our episodes at MediaVillage.com. That's the media leadership website with people like Jack Myers, Ed Martin, Jeff Minsky, and others. Check out their coverage of last week's Consumer Electronics Show 2021, which there was the first virtual show in the history of that particular event. And by the way, I wrote some columns on it. You can find some of them already, and those will be published this week. So check out our episodes at MediaVillage.com, and let me know what you think. All right? All right. And remember, we always love hearing from you. You make this show work because of your feedback. So we'd like to know what you think about today's program, what you think about my diversity milepost comment, and what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going, diversity and otherwise. Well, as I said, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and at LinkedIn as well. And remember, you can also email me to get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. One more time, here's the question. Name the 1950s Western TV series starring Joel McCrea. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, if you're in our trivia contest, make sure you enclose your name and your address. If you won before, let somebody else have their shot at winning. No matter how you use our email or communicate with me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, remember, we always love hearing from you, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? As we always say around here, what you say matters. Absolutely, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at Blog Talk Radio is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, health and wellness material, and much more, for a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Please remember today to celebrate a great human being who brought us all forward in the ability of civil rights in this nation and this world, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Have a great rest of your holiday day. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. And remember, whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe, please make it great, and let's lift this pandemic now and forever. Till the next time, stay well and stay tuned.